As I was trying to tell them the other night, last night was, that inasmuch as God has shared this with us, we realize that we are getting what the Bible refers to as the fresh manna from heaven. Not eating on the dead, Karen, but we are getting fresh manna from heaven. Jesus said, as to the Jewish people, when they said something about the bread that came down from heaven, he said, I am that bread that come down from heaven, and I am the true bread. Said, Moses did not give you that bread. My Father gave you that bread, and I am the bread that comes down from heaven. And if a man will eat of this bread, he shall never hunger again. If he should drink from this fountain, he should never thirst again. As he told a woman at the well, if you drink of this well that I give, it shall be a well of water springing up within you, an everlasting well of water as to everlasting life, and you'll never have to come here to draw again. I see so many people that are getting things, and yet the things that they are getting is actually natural human reasoning as to human definement as to what the Bible refers to as scientists falsely so called. And because of that, the worms get into it. The worms, the Lord said, Jacob, thy worm, I shall help thee. And when your own intellectual reasoning gets into a religious application that comes from God, then the worms have gotten into it. And as it would be with all of the world today, the worms are in it. Everywhere you go as to religion or whatever you go to try to learn or understand in God, you always find the worms in it. There is an intellectual interference with what the Lord is trying to do. So, that's the way it is. Have you ever heard that old saying that he's a bookworm? And the worm gets into it. But with us, we try to have the new manner every day. And they were told in the wilderness not to try to hold it back except as to the time when they were told to do it. Otherwise, that it would breed worms. And it had to be the act of God just to cause it to breed worms. Because it's very evident that even as of today, should you and I discover the little golden pot as to the Ark of the Covenant, we would find it filled with the same manna that they eat. And it would be preserved even until this very day, and there would be no worms in it. And when they discover the Ark of the Covenant, they're going to find the little golden pot. And when they do, they're going to find the hidden manna that was rained down from heaven in that day. A little tiny thing. I know when we think of it, you know, we think of it like a hunk of cornbread, you know, or a cookie or something. But that's not really the way it was. It was like coriander seed. A tiny little bit thing like the dewdrop. And it would be just about like it would be sleeting outside. And the Lord would just like a sleet drop this hidden manna down until it just like grains of corn just pile up, you know, whatever. And they could just go right out there and get it, have all they wanted. And it didn't breed any worms if they got it from day to day. But one of these days they'll discover that little golden pot and they'll discover that hidden manna. And it'll be just as fresh as if it came down. As we would say this morning. All right, so then it's so wonderful to be a Christian and it's so wonderful to understand the Lord. 70 people went off and left Jesus because they didn't understand him. He said, if you're going to live, you're going to have to eat my flesh and drink my blood. And they decided, you know, that was kind of cannibalistic and they left him. They said, This is a hard saying. Who can receive it? So we don't know how to eat his flesh and drink his blood. But the Bible said his words were spirit and was life. And so then he uses the terms, he that overcometh, I will give to him to eat of the hidden manna. He that overcometh. And when we consider as to what we have to overcome, I've said a number of times, if you want to find the villain, look into the mirror, and you'll find him staring back at you as to the one that crucified the Lord, and the one that gives you all of your problems, and the one that you're going to have to overcome. He's the villain. He's the one that you're going to have to overcome. No need to look at Brother Pike as though you've got to overcome him, and look at Brother Taylor as though you've got to overcome him, or as what you define as being your enemy, or someone as to your neighbor, or someone that is in your way, or is displeasing you, or that's causing you all of your problems. That's not the one. You are the one. You are your number one enemy. And when you go to wrestle with yourself, in that the Bible speaks of it being a continual warfare between the inner and the outer man, remember, you're not wrestling against flesh and blood as to your physical being, but as to the infiltration that's in your body, that has taken your body for its selfish purposes, in that Satan savors the things that be of the world, and to enjoy the things that be of the world, he's got to get into the body. And that the dispute is over the body, and in that the body was made for God, the eternal spirit, in that it might have life and more abundantly from the presence of God. It has been stolen away and taken away, even as a man taketh another man's wife. And so it was in the garden, as the thing as it was illustrated, or that it actually happened. We illustrate it, but it actually happened, that a man lost his wife, as to show the body being stolen away by Lucifer. So after that, as to the garden, Adam, being married to Eve, had a stolen wife. And Eve, being married to Adam, had stolen the image. And of course, as to a natural thing, we still have it today, as to man and woman. And someone would say, well, Brother Pike, isn't it a true fact that Eve really belonged to Adam? And of course, she did. But when Adam fell from the garden, he left behind the glorious image in which he was made. And he lost his image as the Son of God, and as the Son of the morning, as being the creation. As to the Son of the morning, thus he became the head of the serpent. And that's why the Bible uses the terms that in Adam all die. So then the serpent now had the bride, or that woman that was so clean and perfect and pure, and the virgin of God that was created there fell. And that is, it was Eve, she was no longer as to that woman of that first man Adam, as to the original creation, as being found within Adam, as in the beginning, all are in Adam and all are one. But it was that image of vanity, having lost her identity with her husband. Now she had the mind of the devil. And Eve, being the mother of all living, so it was said even after the flood that God looked down and saw that men, as to women, of course, that their thoughts were continually evil, and said that he would not again destroy mankind, but rather he sought a remedy, as to enter into the heart, work from within the heart as to a new birth, and kill out the bodily image of vanity by sending his son, or making himself a human body, and coming down to earth, suffered the penalty of rejection and death and darkness, so as to free man, and he would not have to suffer it. He suffered it for him. And him being made in the image of sin, though he knew no sin, and him being made our sin, that we might be made in his glorious image, as to him that knew no sin to be made his righteousness. So it was that God wrought a great plan of salvation. Like Brother Lamar said last night when the things were so exuberant, he said, man, said it's a great plan, ain't it? And it is a true fact that there we see Lucifer and his wife, as we say, as to the fallen ones, and yet not as to Lucifer and his wife, in the sense that God did not charge it against the natural image that he had created from the dust, but they did suffer the penalty as until the day of the Reformation, or the Bible calls it the time of the Reformation, as to when the seed to whom the promise was made should come. That is to say, Jesus or in Isaac shall the seed be called. So then it's evident that all of their children are still the image of the devil. So everyone that's born into this world, as to their first birth, then there is the image of the devil. And it is only through the Reformation as to the new birth that the true image of man is brought forth as to that which was lost in the garden as the second man, Adam, to appear in the sight of God, appearing in the sight of God through the foreknowledge as to him reserving to himself that glorious image as not to lose it, then we are as individuals sons of God, as bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. But only when we have the mind of God. And you do not have the mind of God unless you're born again. And if you have the mind as of the world and the love of the world, then are ye of the devil. And as John that came there to Calvary, coming up to Calvary, the law and the prophet still John, coming to Calvary, he laid the axe to the root of the tree and he cut down that family tree of the serpent. He cut down the family tree when he said, oh, you generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath of God to come. And he laid the axe to the tree and he cut down that family tree from Calvary all the way back to the garden and ended that in the sight of God. And though that generation of vipers is still present today, and they went right on past Calvary, as it would appear, but really and truly, they never did get over the Jordan as to Calvary, as to accept Jesus as unto death, delivered for their offenses, that they might accept on the other side of Calvary the resurrection of the Son of God. He, as to the new image of the new form, who was raised for their justification. So then they are still on the other side of Calvary, though they are around today, and they've never come to their Calvary experiences to repentance and eternal life. And they do not have the mind of God, so they cannot have the faith of Christ by which we're sanctified, so they cannot be the bodily image of God as to cleanliness, justification, and that he justifies us by faith, sanctifies us by faith, and translates us into the transfiguration or the image of God as to the glorification by faith. That is to say, the faith of Jesus Christ. Anyway, I'm just saying a few little words here to some of you that may have a hard time conceiving of the things that we say, and that we go so fast trying to get this over. But you can see then it is a great plan of salvation. And you can see then that Adam was the son of the morning as to the first Adam that had fallen, even the image of the devil, in that he lost the image of God when he departed from the garden, which was the overshadowing, or we use the terms the illumination. He lost the illumination. And in losing the illumination, then he was out in the darkness, because when you turn off the light, that brings the darkness. It's like last night was trying to illustrate how that Lucifer is cast out of heaven, and when the blood is taken off the seat of atonement, the blood which represents fire, as to the light coming from the fire, God being a consuming fire, and the blood is to a representation of that, then when it comes off, the light goes out. and that the expulsion of Satan is not as we would think that to be, as to say, well, we go up and we cast him out. It's not in that way as to our human concept and thinking, but it is, as I illustrated, in that I was sitting right next to the light when I got to the point, and I said, and then the expulsion of Satan. I was trying to explain how that you can be in grace 1 minute and be out of grace as to they that have fallen there under the law, if they be fallen from grace. And all of a sudden, I just said, and the expulsion of Satan, and I switched the light, and it went completely dark to where you couldn't see anything or anybody. And then, of course, I switched it back on, and I said, that's how quick the expulsion comes. He was in light. He was. All of a sudden, he's in light no more. He was in heaven. As to the world of light, all of a sudden, he is thus in the world of darkness. It was the expulsion. That is to say, when the church goes out, as to the church going out, or as we use the terms, the translation of the church, when it goes out, then the light is gone, for ye are the light of the world. And when the light is gone, then, of course, everything is in darkness. Why? Because this world is darkness. I know that we don't see that, we don't understand that, but it is a true fact that the Bible said when God came forth, the world was dark, it was void, without form, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And it was then that he said, let there be light, and there was light. So then I've used this terms as to a physical defining of it, that the natural realm, the physical realm, the spiritual realm, or the water world, the blood world, and the angelic world. Or the water world, the blood world, and the spirit world to the angelic world. It is a true fact that as to at this present time, this world is in darkness. As to a physical definition of it, when we look at the human being, we realize that before he is born again, he is confined to a world of intellectual darkness. And when God comes forth as the great Holy Spirit, he looks and he sees this man without form. That is, he has no conformity as to the image of God, as to the image in which he was made. There is no form. So without any form as to a comeliness, as to God, then we say the earth, in that we're made out of the dust, is without form. And then we look and it's void. It is void of any fruits, as unto God, as unto production, as unto life. And it is void as to any understanding of God. And then God, as to the word, comes and says, let there be light. And all of a sudden on the inside we light up like a bulb, whereas the electrical has come to the filament of the bulb, and we see the little filament all aglow, and it strikes the bulb, and the bulb becomes aglow, and out of that comes light, and the light surrounds the bulb, as to say that from within you, shining as to the life of Christ being made manifest in your mortal genes, out it comes. And then when it comes out, then people can walk in your light, or within the radius of this great, wonderful light that's penetrating that globe to come out. It joins light to light and candle power to candle power, and thus you are the light of the world. And it's so wonderful. If you walk in the light as he is in the light, then you'll connect or have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ will cleanse you from all sin. All right. Didn't know till I looked down then that that's what we're going to read, but let's read. Always the Spirit and the Word agrees. Says in the 12th chapter of the book of St. John, the 30th verse, Jesus answered and said, this voice came not because of me, but for your sakes. Now is the judgment of this world, now shall the prince of this world be cast out. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. This he said, signifying what death he should die. The people answered him, we have heard out of the law that Christ abideth forever. And how sayest thou, the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man? Then Jesus said unto them, yet a little while is the light. with you. Walk while ye have light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. While ye have light, believe in the light, that ye may be the children of light. Now, when we say light, just for a little bit, it is to dwell on this as just to talk with you. When we say this world is the world of darkness, what am I saying? I am saying that in this world of darkness, it is darkness because of intellectual ignorance. For to God, ignorance is darkness. And ye are children of light. And why do I say that ye are children of light? Because understanding to God is light. And that's why the Bible uses the term that your understanding being enlightened, that you might comprehend the heights, the depth, the width, and the length of these things. So then as to this understanding, this divine understanding, Jesus Christ alone dwells within this understanding or within this light. And is so great and so mighty that everything would dissipate if it tried to come near this light. And he alone dwells in this light, having immortality. And inasmuch as we are bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh, then do we have immortality? Or then are we the body of the Lord Jesus that dwells within this light? And this great wonderful light, it is said that someday it shall come to earth. And at the coming of this great light, that God will destroy him, even Satan, that sits within the temple, that is the human body, is to the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. And sure enough, when God is speaking, even from the sacred desk, and this word goes forth, in that the world is within you, and the Bible said the love of the world in you, and God has placed the world within the heart of man, that when God begins to speak, in that it's not the minister speaking, but God, as this great wonderful light penetrates, coming to your listening ear as by sound, as to vibrations, some of these things you brought out the other night, as coming to you as to a great revelated understanding, then your eyes, which is eyes of understanding, become enlightened. And then this light penetrates, it goes down into your heart, and you are all aglow, even as it was with Stephen's when the Bible said, and his face shined as that of an angel. They beheld it as that of an angel, even as Jesus when he stood on the mountain. And this great wonderful light, even as Solomon said, wisdom maketh a man's face to shine, in that this is the word of spirit and light, or life, this understanding. You are the body of that great, wonderful understanding. You are the Word made flesh as to your measure, whatever it is. And Jesus was God as to the Word made flesh as the Spirit Word without measure. And so then you no longer belong to the natural world of intellectual definition as to darkness. You are not a prisoner anymore. For the Bible said, blessed be the Lord God of heaven that has translated us out of darkness into the marvelous kingdom of light. So then, whereas we were held in bondage and we were prisoners of our intellectual lust and our intellectual desire, our intellectual concern, whereas we were prisoners to that, now, we don't go back to that anymore. Paul said concerning some of them that was looking back, as to those that look back in Egypt, he said, do you desire again to be in bondage to the beggarly elements of the world? Do you desire then to make known that you really are a child of bondage? If you do, then you are a child of bondage. If you have that desire, then are you a child of bondage? As I said, if you go back, having tasted of the heavenly gift, having been made partakers of the Holy Ghost, having tasted of the power of God and that of the world to come, and then if you fall away, then if you go back out into the world, then if you have carnal interest of the things of the flesh as to the exuberance of your intellectual thoughts as to the entertainments of the world, then it is positive proof that you are a reflector. Though you look just like all the rest and so close you couldn't tell it apart as to what is the elect and what is not the elect, you couldn't tell the difference. You know, if you wasn't really elect, it's like the Jews. The Jews, you cannot tell the difference between Jews and Arabs. Hardly can tell the difference. I could tell my wife, the reason for that is because they're both Abraham's sons. Both of them are children of Abraham. See, but there's a world difference because the Bible speaks of the bondsmaid, and that child born of the bondsmaid was not a free child. It was not a free child, only as to the liberty if the mother of the free child gave that liberty. Because the bondsmaid, someone would say, well, it was the bondsmaid of Abraham, and if Abraham gave the freedom, and thus it was. That is true to the extent, but it was not the bondsmaid of Abraham. It was the bondsmaid of his wife. Those were women that were given because they did not have the physicians in those days as to the delivery of the children. And these went with them as to the delivery of the children. And as to the bondsmaid, then when this child was born, it was automatically a child of bondage. As it is said over in Israel, that as to the proof of a Jewish mother, then can you be a Jew? But just as to the proof of a Jewish father, you cannot be a Jew. Now over here, you know, as to us, it is different because everything is in reverse. They drive on the other side, we drive on the other side. You understand what I'm saying? What they do, the men serve in the restaurants. Over here, the ladies serve in the restaurant. Over there, you know, it says to the woman in the birth. It's over here, it is as to the man. So when I say that, that is the lie. We say, well, why could that be? You know that a woman couldn't give forth life. But strangely enough, among the Jews, when a woman could give forth life, that is no other woman in no other nationality, the Bible said it shall come to pass that a woman shall compass a man, and that a virgin shall conceive and be with child. And sure enough, she brought forth a son. So a woman without man brought forth a son, so the son was of the woman. So it puts it in the reverse. All right, anyway, we see these things as we walk in the light. He is in the light. We'll have fellowship one with another because we are the children of light. And Jesus here in talking to them, it was a very precise moment when he made these statements because at this particular time, there had been a sound and somebody said it has thundered. And it had not thundered. It was a voice. Jesus heard the voice. And this was God actually speaking unto him. See, and we could really say some things there because we mentioned that the other night as to the sons of thunder. But here we are, children of light, in a world of darkness. And I mentioned the other night, I bring it back again, that in the days of Moses, here is a darkness. What is the darkness? It is a veil over the face of Moses. So then this veil of darkness is referred to by Paul in the New Testament as a glass darkly. And we see through a glass darkly. So then they, as to the people of that day, as to the veil, Paul said, which veil remaineth over the face of the people as in his day? And it is untaken away, but in Christ it is taken away. Or he could have said by revelation, this veil that fell over the face of Adam and Eve, as to the weakness of the flesh, as to the woman representing that, through the weakness of Eve, as sin being in the world, because of lust she looked and lusted, and the lust of the eyes brought sin into the world. Now he could have said, and this is the veil of death, which is an intellectual swallowing up or a thing that has become interwoven with your human body. So then the body is now at war with the inter-spirit as to the angelic inter-man, because this that is warring to steal the body of that is stolen it through the fall at the present time. You know, Paul was speaking of those that was on the other side of Calvary that had not come to the light. In this, that body, it created a warfare between the inner man. Paul said, oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? And he said, flesh, corruptible flesh. See, we pimper, we pamper the flesh. We lift the flesh up. We magnify the flesh. We project the flesh. See, and that means that we are fleshly and we have the desire to the flesh as to the convenience of the flesh. That is to make provisions for the flesh when the Bible said that we should not make any provisions to fulfill the lust, or that is to say, the desire of the flesh. Now, we look at Moses, we see a veil. Here is the veil. The veil is between Moses and the people. And they said, Moses, you speak to God, and then you can speak to us, because we are afraid, in that it was said that if any man saw God, he would die, for no man could see the Lord and live. And that again is why I say, as to you and I, we are reckoned to be dead by the body of the Lord Jesus, having seen the Lord himself. Not as looking through a glass darkly, as it was the veil over the face in that day. For we are looking straight into the face of God Almighty, and we are seeing as to the glory of God. And with this, we are reflecting that wonderful glory as to this outer man, and we are changed from glory to glory into the marvelous image of God as to the ultimatum, first to transformation, as inside, as to glory, as to understanding, to light, and then at the ultimatum of this, suddenly the outer man changes into the wonderful image as to the transfiguration. And he becomes the very image of Almighty God as to the first man Adam, not illuminated as outwardly, but as filled with the illumination inwardly. And this light penetrating, coming into the outer man to show the wonderful light that penetrates this form that will change our surrounding, do away with the briars and the problems as to the curse, and bring in the millennium as to the garden. In a 1-2-3 step. So then the Bible said, as to this veil, when they looked at this veil, that they could not steadfastly see to the end of that which is abolished, as to the commandments of the keeping of ordinances. Now they couldn't understand that, because they were looking at ordinances as to laws, to ritualistics, things that was imposed upon them by Moses as to a typical sense, to show the natural allegoric types, which is a veil. God within a natural allegoric type. Until the time of the Reformation, these things were imposed upon him, as to the coming of the seed to whom the promise was made. So then he said as to the bulls and goats, and the spilling of their blood could never make the comer thereunto perfect. But as to the blood of a lamb, without spot, even as to Christ Jesus, even to a human form that had sinned, now comes a human form, and in the human form is the pure blood. And because of this pure blood life, now we can start another generation. First, we must kill the old generation. We must lay the axe to the root of the tree, tear down, kill, destroy all of that family tree, all the way back to the garden as the old tree of knowledge. Get rid of that. Not try to comprehend God anymore as through a glass darkly, as to human concept, as to this veil, which is a veil of death, in that to be carnally minded is death. Because the intellectual, as to the natural being, is not subjected to the ways and thoughts and desires of God. It is not subject to God, neither indeed can be. Well, that is to say, you are never going to subject your outer being to the Word of God, or the Word which is Spirit and life, just as long as you have carnality as to intellectual reasoning. You are a child of darkness. You are in bondage to that darkness. Your human senses as to the creature, it binds you to the beggarly elements of the world, proving that your hunger and thirst is for the things of the world, and the love of the world's in you, and the love of the Father isn't there. So then you're never going to be spiritual. That's why that the Bible said, and this light shined in darkness, and the darkness could not comprehend it, or it said it comprehended it not. That is, you, as children of light, can comprehend this wonderful light, even the heights, the depth, the width, and the length, as your eyes of understanding are enlightened. And they that be of the intellectual, their eyes of understanding is darkened, and they cannot comprehend this light, because they are creatures of darkness. So then we see that with this veil being eradicated at Calvary, We're now on this side of the veil, and the veil was rent in twain, in that Jesus made within himself two, or twain, both the Lord and Christ, rending in two, as to say, separating the Lord from the Christ. Then he folded up the body, as to your body, laid it away. Your spirit was thus free from sin, as to the body of corruption and the body of that death. What the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, that is to say, my flesh being weak to perform it. God, sending an image of sin, even his own son, in the likeness of sinful flesh, condemned sin in the flesh. He came not to condemn the world, but that through him the world might be saved. But he came to condemn sin in the flesh. He condemned sin in the flesh. He wrought this thing as to being delivered from my offenses and raised again for my justification. So then in this, he folded up my body. He laid it away. Today I say again, I cannot transgress the law. Someone would preach that, you know, we sin and then we repent and we sin and we repent. I know that we do as to the errors of our bodily ways and our human being. I know that, you know, and I know that the intercessors there ever interceding with God to hear me when I repent of my wrongs and I show my godly sorrow. But it is not as you would think, as to a repentance where I have to get down on my knees and say, oh my God, forgive me. Or it isn't as to a repentance as to where we are walking along and say, oh my God, I've done wrong, forgive me. It isn't like that at all. As a matter of fact, it is altogether different from that. It is as this, that Christ dwelling within, as officiating within this temple, this tabernacle, as the high priest, maketh intercession for my soul, my spirit, with groans and moans that cannot be uttered. And so then he is interceding at all times. And he is the one where his sweat turns to blood. And he is the one that is fasting and doing without such long, strenuous task he endures just for you and I. And so then he is, before I ever call, he is crying out, and it has come to pass that the Bible said God hath heard me before I called, or that this was given to me in Christ Jesus before I was ever born into the world to call. And I was a son of God in the foreknowledge of God before I was ever born, as the prophet before he was ever formed in his mother's womb, called to be a prophet, and as Judas before he was ever formed in the womb, it was said, let another his bishopric take. So that is to say, by the foreordination of God, or the foreknowledge of God, is when Paul preached to them that were of the foreknowledge, predestination as election under grace, the Bible said, and the elect believed, and the others did not. Paul said, your blood be upon your own head. When the Jews cried, let his blood be upon us and our children. This was an indication that the world was lost, that the blood of the Lord would be upon them and their children. And it remained upon the Jews, and they, as the scapegoat, took this and took it for you and I. So we, as the spirit, they, as the body, the separation, the rending of the veil, and now they are dead in the sight of God, and the head of that body was Jesus. So then that's dead. That's dead. We're dead in the body. We're free from sin. Like the two little doves, as to a male being born, every one that openeth the matric as to the firstborn shall be called holy unto the Lord. Bring a pair of turtle doves, even as when they dedicated to the Lord Jesus, and they take the doves and they kill one, that is to cut the head off, and then they sprinkle the other with the blood and turn him loose and let him fly away. See, to fly away, to indicate as to the body of death, as to the severing of the head, as to the smiting, even as it was with John, and that as to the old had to lose its head because it cannot come beyond Calvary. And then the one that was sprinkled with the blood as to the blood of the Lord Jesus, as to in the Old Testament when they did this, and he flies away. When he flies away, this means that the spirit has been released from the body, and the body is gone and the spirit is gone. So in this we can say a lot, especially about the waters of separation that the Bible speaks of in the Old Testament, as to what happens Because as we say, as to the waters above the firmament and the waters below the firmament, when he said, let there be light, and he placed the firmament between the waters, and as to the spiritual application, we look, and here's Calvary between heaven and earth. If I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. And here's Calvary. And there is waters therefore above, which is those that were translated into the kingdom of God, in that John refers to waters as people. And scientists say that the biggest portion of the body, of course, is made out of water. So then as to the waters, as to the heavenly waters, we see waters as to the clouds floating around, as to this vaporized thing, as to the heat being applied and water turning into a gaseous form, and up it goes and appears congealed. So we see the waters above the firmament, we see the waters below the firmament. That means that with this, that we are as waters in heaven, we are as to the angelic, we are as to the clouds with silver lining, but we run into problems up there. Because as we in heaven, we are as the angel, that is to say, as inwardly, we are a spiritual being that cannot die. In that angels cannot die, they have to be destroyed. And God swear to us he'd never destroy us. But we are with the angels, as the clouds of silver lining. And then we see as to clouds that are not clouds of silver lining, but dark clouds that are filled with thunder and lightning and fierceness. And these clouds, as to the hot and the cold, here we come together as we preached in that little sermonette called The Thunders, as to war in heaven, and brought it down as to what it applies to as in the church, as to the physical realm. So then in this we see the Lord rending the veil, and we see as war in heaven the thunders, even Revelation 12 at the sounding of the last trump in 11:15. So we see in 12, here is the war in heaven, which is the opening of the matrix, and here is the war in heaven and the birth of the child, and Satan as lightning falls, as Revelation 12, when Lucifer is cast out, or the old dragon is cast out, as to say the blood life at Calvary, the tree is cut down, that's the end of it. And Jesus said that I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Or that is, I give you power over all the powers of the enemy, for he that is within you is greater than he that is in the world, as taking the world out of you and putting the kingdom of God within you, as to Calvary, translating you into the marvelous kingdom of God, or your spirit into the spirit of Christ. So then we see here at Calvary, the veil is rent, the opening of the matrix, the birth of the child, and we see that Mother Earth opened as to the grave, and Jesus went forth. As to the child being caught up, as to the blood-dipped vesture being put on the throne at the right hand of the Father. So that means that we are now within that great light, and we're at the right hand of the Father. And like the little dove, we've been sprinkled with the blood, and away we went. And the blood that we were sprinkled with was then our own blood. Or that is to say, as to we being the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, we have suffered death. Therefore, when he died, the Bible said, then are we crucified with Christ Jesus. So then the blood that came forth was the blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But in that he hath made us to have royal blood, then are we one with his body and one with his blood and one with his life. And as to our blood, not as to an atonement of our sins, for there's but one blood that can atone for sin, but our blood to the extent that we are one with him, giving ourselves to him as a lamb without spot, in that he has made us righteous, and we are killed all the day long, accounted for sheep as to the slaughter, and we are delivered unto death. That is the just suffering for the unjust. In this, though we do that, we are more than conquerors, and we spill our own blood as to the body, that the spirit may be sprinkled with that blood, as to this life being within the blood of Jesus, even the royal blood, and the way our spirit goes to be with Christ. That is to say, as to the mind of God, he sees our life within that new body as to the resurrection of that form, in that he was raised for our justification. And the dove, the one that was beheaded, we see that even as an angelic thing, even Jesus, it came from heaven, but we see him killed. That is to say, as the head of the Jews, the head being severed, and the head taken away from the body of the Jews. We see that there, and we see in that, if we had time to detail it, a lot of things that we'd like to bring out. But we see that that is why that John was beheaded, that the law and the prophets were until John, and after that, the beheading of it, and no more the law and the prophets. We conclude that a man is justified without the law for every jot and tittle was fulfilled there. And the righteousness of the law is fulfilled within us. That is by faith we are made alive eternally and ever. And the severing of the head as to Calvary, going from here to there as shepherd when he broke through the spheres, and crossing as to the second heaven, as from the first heaven to the third heaven, crossing the second heaven, then that means that he opened a door in the second heaven as to the rent veil, the opening of the matrix, as to the birth of the child from this atmosphere, precious here, as to gravitational forces that binds our understanding or our human senses to the earth as a sufficiency of our substance, or that is to say, being sustained by those things, making us a bond child, subject as vanity or to vanity. So then God, having subjected the creature to vanity, we are waiting then for the change, waiting for the change to wit the redemption of our body as to that which is the purchased possession, which he really purchased at Calvary. I said the other night that what we are, we've always been, and what we're going to be, we already are. See, because as to you and I, Paul said to the Jews, as to the allegoric thing there, as to that veil, he said, your intellectual reasoning, you're not to lean to your own understanding. You know, that's over. Cast all that down, even to every thought, to the subjection to the knowledge of the Lord. And now it's the mind of Christ, because it's the body of Christ. Got a new life, a new body, a new spirit, all these kind of things. See, and we then realize that we are no more what we was, in the sense of that as to vanity, of vanities. All is vanity and vexation of the spirit. But we are what we've always been before the fall. Not as what we were in the fall, but before the fall, in that we were sons of God, and we only passed through a chamber of death and confusion, and we had to pass through this great tubular-like thing as from point A to point B, or that is to say, entering in over here as into a human concept, coming out over here as to a God concept, when before we entered in, we were already the conception of God as to foreknowledge. But going through the tubular thing is to passing through images and forms. We had to take on a form because God himself came down as a great spirit, entered into the realm of forms, and thus he came out as a form. That is to say, we take something and we take over here, as we would say, something like an entombment, as in the vision that I saw, or it is what we call a mold. And this as to a liquid form of metal or cement or whatever it might be, plastic. We pour it into the form because the form is our desire as to the image that we would like to have. That is, we have conceived of an object that we want. So we pour it in there, we fashion the mold, and then when it's completely made or molded, we rend it in two, we open it up, and we take out the object. And God, as a great spirit, had to pass through that just like we had to pass through that. And he passed through it to be the head of all of that which is that we call the creation of God, which emanated from God. And when he said, let there be, and so it was, as to his word and desire, it took form. Well, anyway, that would take a lot of time to go into those things. But just getting back to our thought, it's like when a German scholar stood up in my meeting. He was really upset, you know, because he felt like I jumped the gun, as we say. And he was a terrific scholar. But nevertheless, he had some thoughts that wasn't lined up properly in what I understood. And one of the things was that he and I kind of differed over the fact that the creature being changed, that is to say, and we wait for the redemption of the body, or to wit, the redemption of our body. And the Bible said, and the sons of God will be made manifest. And then when we got into the subject as to the sons of God, that is that today we are sons of God as in the glorious liberties of the Lord. And Paul said that the whole creation is groaning, it's in travail, waiting to be delivered. For the creature itself shall be changed into the glorious liberties of the sons of God, which of course I say to you, the sons of God, God being a heavenly father is to a spirit, then he is the father of spirits, and inwardly you are a spiritual being, sealed in by the Holy Spirit, and that you are one with Christ, and you keep yourself, and the evil one is to the angelic spirit of darkness. Even Lucifer cannot get near that spirit of light, of which you are by the interwovenness of Christ, who is the light and the defender of your faith and life, and the champion of justice that defeated Satan. Satan hath no power over him. So you being given this spirit have all power over the powers of the enemy, even Christ. Or Christ within you, the hope of glory. Well, anyway, we had a little discussion over it, and we didn't agree at all. So he says, Brother Pike, the creature is those things that are without, as to the animals and those kind of things. I said, which I knew that was true, I said, the creature that he's speaking of is this human body that has not been delivered as of yet from the veil of darkness, in that it is buried with him in baptism as to death. And though we be delivered up as to being resurrected with him in life, we are under tutors until the time appointed to the Father. And that is as to the adoption of the bar mitzvah. I said, that is to say, it is not recognized as of yet. Though we're sons of God yet, we're not recognized as to visual sight until the time of the change. And of course, I wish we just had a lot of time to get into that as to the change and some of the things even we spoke of the other night. But what he failed to see was that I could see that that was to be redeemed, because I believed that. See, as to the creature and the creation, even the sea roaring, the waves thereof, wanting Adam to come back as the second man Adam, as to the restoration of that image, that glorified image, as to be God over the world. That is to say, God within him and Adam to rule over the world with love, compassion, and that everything would be at peace. For while Satan, as to the first man Adam, is ruling, it's nothing but a turmoil and problems and lightning and thundering and diseases and tidal waves and all kind of things. Whereas the Bible said, in the millennium when everything is restored and nothing shall harm in all of my holy mountain, saith the Lord, in that Satan will be bound for 1,000 years, showing that he is the interruption, not man, the severing. But anyway, the thing that he failed to see was that we are, as scientists defines it, beast, and that we are relative to those natural beasts as being the head of those beasts, as in our first birth, as in the fallen Adam. See, and that the creature applies to you and I in our first birth as a natural being, and that's the creature that he spoke of. And with that, all other creatures come forth, as when the illumination, the inward illumination, penetrates the outer casing, and then when it goes out, it will do away with the briars and the glory of God penetrating, going out, then those creatures will automatically be brought back to their restoration. Well, anyway, we didn't mean to get so far off trail. There's quite a number of things that I need to say to you, and I could say to you about this, but I only said these few things to let you understand that we are children of light, and so much, much, much more. As to Jesus said, we have many things to say unto you. As to him that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying unto the church. Calvary, the veil has been rent in twain. The death veil is gone. And this light of the latter house, as to the Gentile church, as to this temple of God, excels that of the former house of that of the Jew, in that that of the Jew is considered the former dwelling of God, as God veiling himself in darkness, or hid behind the mask, as we say, of that darkness, or that veil that was a mask over Moses' face, because the people could not look at it, because had they looked at it as to the glory, it would have destroyed them. They couldn't even get near the mountain. And Moses, only because of a chosen vessel, as likened to Christ Jesus, faithful in all of his house, was able by the mercy of God to come into that place, as to give us even an allegoric thing of it, as pointing to the future. But the veil stood between God and man, in that Moses was made God to man. And when Jesus came, Jesus was that veil that stood between God, who is a spirit, as to first dimension, second dimension, first power, second power, third power. And here he was as to now another dimension. And in that dimension, as to coming into the second place, as to the dimension, here he was the veil as to the humanity. And the Bible said he made in himself a doorway there as to into heaven. Peter recognizing this, looking beyond the veil, and John seeing it at the end of the church ages, and him being caught up through that door into the heavenly presence of God. That is to say, that making a more sure way, the Bible said, that is to say, in his flesh, or rending the veil in twain, in that we say, don't cast your pearl before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn and rend you. He was rent from top to bottom, as to his countenance marred more than any man, as to the beating of the back and the thorns on the head, the nail prints, and all these kind of things. See, so as to the rending, it actually amounted to one thing, as to death to the body, and the separation as to the two cherubs, the covering cherubs, as to the beautiful thing that actually housed the wonderful revelation, or the revealed Shekinah of Almighty God, which to you and I was the indwelling Christ. So we see this, that this light, as the unveiled light, actually is not looking at the hinder part, as we say so often, but we are now in the presence of Almighty God, and we are now in the second heaven, as to the woman, even you and I, as the natural part of us, as to the illumination, which means that God has done that through grace and mercy. And in doing that, Jesus being the propitiation for our sins, not only our sins, but the sins of the whole wide world, all of them that are without, are also illuminated, even as Adam was in the garden, as to the outward covering, as to the garment. We use the terms a lot of times, preaching, you cover with a covering, but not of me. But anyway, in this dispensational grace, they're out there is to allow this body not to be destroyed, as to grace. Then he had to do that to them, because they're also a body. And then when this body is changed, that won't be to them anymore. The blood will come off of the seat of atonement. But the indwelling, as to the Christ that is in the third heaven, as to your inner man, he will be illuminated, and he is interwoven with that glory eternally and forever. And the body will enjoy that at the change. Thessalonians change. The Bible said, comfort the brethren with these words as to the chains. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. I say this then in closing, that we are not children of darkness as to intellectual ignorance, nor are we in bondage to the beggarly elements of the world as to the human senses. We have manner to eat that you know not of, and we can stay alive in Christ Jesus eternally and forever. Though you should kill the body, we still would be alive. And there's coming a change of the body, as having borne the image of the earthly, as to the first Adam, we shall bear the image of the heavenly, as to the second Adam. And this tabernacle, as in the wilderness of the intellectuals, should be dissolved. We have a temple as to another eternal house in the heavens, not made with hands, even that was resurrected, as to the new form, as to the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Being baptized into Christ, we're put on Christ. And the Bible said, you're now members of the body, bone and flesh. So then put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, as to your beautiful garment, Zion. All right, let's stand together. It's getting late. I know it's getting late. Cooling off a little bit in here. Hope you can understand. The Bible said the righteous will understand. The wicked shall not understand. They'll reflect. They'll taste, but they'll never have their minds open to it, because they cannot comprehend this light. The light shined in darkness, and the darkness could not comprehend it. Therefore, that cannot comprehend, they will not see when good cometh. All right, let's sing a little chorus together, can we? I love him. Can you sing that with me?
I love him.
All because that he first loved me. And he purchased my salvation on Calvary. Once again, let's sing together. I love him. We're glad to have you here this morning. Glad to see you. Come and be with us. Glad to see Bill home off the road. It's good to worship the Lord. It's good to come together. If you walk in the light, as he is in the light, you will have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ will cleanse you from all sins. And if you do not walk in the light, it's very evident that you are children of darkness. On Calvary's tree, without him I can do nothing. Can you say amen? And without him I would but fail. For without him I would be drifting like a ship without a sail. Oh Jesus, I hope that you'll pray for us. Pray for our radio broadcast over in Israel, because I believe it's Tuesday that we come on for the first time in Israel, and our voice will be heard for the first time over the airways in Israel. And it has great significance and a great purpose. If the Lord's will and nothing happened, we're looking forward to it coming out over the airways. So pray for it. So without Jesus I can do nothing. Oh, without Jesus I would but fail. For without him I would be drifting like a ship without any sail. The altars are open. Oh Jesus, sweet Jesus, won't you hear him today? Don't turn him away, Jesus. Oh, Jesus, without him, how lost I would be. One more time. For without Jesus I can do nothing. And without Jesus I would but fail. Without Jesus I would be drifting just like a ship without a sail. Without him like a ship with God in me sail. Sing that with me now. Oh, Jesus, sweet Jesus, won't you hear him today? Don't turn him away. Without him, how lost I would be. Can we lift our hands up together? And I will praise him. Can you lift your hands and close your eyes?
Praise him, my will praise him. Praise the Lamb for sinners slain. Let us
time together. So let us praise
him. I will praise him.
I'm going to ask little brother Jonathan Whitlow to come and dismiss us. Sinners slain. Can you sing that with me? Let us kneel in glory.